to St. Luke chapter 23, Luke 23. Let me again say thank God for the challenge that was given to us last week. May God help us to keep that challenge before us and that we'll do what God have us to do. And I'm not talking about just money. That's part of it. But our hearts out for souls, people get saved, be born in the family of God. What a joy it is. I think it's going to be wonderful to get to heaven and somebody come by and say, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Or maybe thank you because you sent a missionary. Thank you because you did go and did care. I think that's going to be glorious. Amen. I think it's going to be glorious one day when that happens and we get there. Even down here on this earth, I've been in this thing a long time, and sometimes I run into somebody that got saved years ago or somewhere I had touched their life. God allowed me to touch their life. God touched them. But they'll say something to me and thank me for that. And that's an encouragement. What a blessing it is to hear that. But think about it, when you get to heaven and meet people you never have met, that you've had a part in getting them to Jesus and getting the gospel to them. I say, glory to God, that's wonderful. Amen. Somewhere I went dead, it's 4 o'clock. And I'm going to try to preach, and I'm dead. 4 o'clock. That don't work. Is it on up there? I hear it now. You got it now. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, hold on, bud. Mickey, he'll be all right. And don't hit that wrong button again now. Please, if I can't hear myself, I can't tell whether anybody else is or not. And he's trying to get it adjusted out. We'll be all right. And anyway, I wanted to say that because it's such a joy to see folk and see people continue on serving God. Years ago, you touched their lives, but God has moved them on and they've grown in grace. What a joy, what a joy. And we pray for people to get saved. And I've told y'all about Kenny Spreaker from up in Rural Tree. He and his wife got saved. He really grew in the Lord, but had a brother that was not saved. And he was a coach in school and active in social activities and couldn't get him to come to church, couldn't get him to do anything. Kenny Spreaker got killed. Accident in the plant where he worked. And when we did the funeral, his wife, and I wasn't a pastor there then, somebody else was, so they was in charge. I helped him at the funeral. But his wife came to him and asked me if I'd give an invitation at the cemetery. And I said, I will if a pastor's in agreement for that. I mentioned to the pastor, he said, you do what you feel like God wants you to do. And so at that cemetery, I gave that invitation. That boy literally crawled on his hands and knees from the chairs where he was up to where I was and gave his heart to Jesus. I've been gone from there. Well, I've been here this year, be 25 years. And then I was away at 5. It's been at least 30 years, close to that anyway, 20-some years at least since that happened. Last time I was up there, I saw him come up and talk to me, thanking me, thinking about that. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, those graveside professions, not any good that one was. It's lasted 20-some years. I say hallelujah for that. And I believe it'll last right on through till he gets home to heaven. And Brother Kenny gets to see him, and Brother Kenny would pray, whatever it takes to get my brother. That kind of burden to get things done. That's the kind of burden that Brother Gary is talking about when Paul said he would, that he'd be a curse from his own people. That he'd be a curse from God, that his own people might be saved. And that's what Brother Kenny, he wasn't saying that, but he was saying whatever it takes. And he went out to be with the Lord. And I know a young lady that went out, I believe all my heart, Sister Amy, that went out to, so other people could come to know Jesus Christ. A bunch of young folk got saved, and I praise God for that. That was Chris's sister, senior in high school. You never know what God's going to do, but we need to get down serious about praying about it. Now, I'm not preaching that tonight, but I'm just tossing it out to you, running one of those rabbit trails because I feel it in my heart. Just that we need to pray, God, speak to hearts and save people before it's eternally too late. Let's look at Luke 23, verse number 33. Stand with me, please. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors on one hand and the other on the left. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God tonight. And Lord, the privilege to reminisce and think about those folk we've seen come to know Christ. But Lord, help us not only to look back, but look forward to those that will be saved. And looking forward to God doing something special in our hearts and in our lives, in the lives of others. I pray that you would speak to every heart tonight, every person here. Lord, those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray tonight conviction be real and they be drawn by the power of God and come to know Christ. And you said, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, they'd send forth laborers into the harvest. And Father, we do pray tonight for that. And we ask you now to take the word of God, speak to our hearts, challenge our lives, and help us not get away from the fact that we are to be ambassadors in this world for the Lord Jesus. And Father, thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray, amen and amen. I want to preach, and I'm sure many times this title has been used in many ways, but I just want to preach on a place called Calvary, a place called Calvary. And we sometimes think about what day was Jesus crucified on, and I know we have Good Friday, what's called Good Friday coming up, and I can't for the life of me get 3 days and 3 nights in Friday crucifixion and get up by Sunday morning early, even before daylight. And so how they figure that, I don't know. I know they figure part of a day, a whole day, they say in a Jewish day, but I really don't know whether it's Thursday, Wednesday. I don't know what day it was, really. I don't. Some minds greater than mine may figure all that out. All I can tell you is for sure that there was a place called Calvary and that he did die. I know that for sure. And I'm not going to accept the Friday thing. I can't get that to save my life, but I can see where it could be an argument about Thursday, the Sabbath. Now, remember, it was a special feast of the year. And so it wasn't just had to be a Saturday Sabbath day as happened. It was a special day. And the Passover and everything was there. So it had to be a certain day. And I'm not smart enough to go back in history and figure all that out. And a computer don't help me any. Amen. So all I know is we're going to look at the verse of Scripture. One verse of Scripture. I want to give you 3 things tonight quickly. And just think about this place called Calvary. And let me say this in the introduction. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it talks about, for the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness. But us that are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. I thank God for the preaching of the cross of Calvary. Without the preaching of the cross, we would not be saved. Then Paul said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross, in the cross. Thank God for the cross of Calvary. Amen. I praise God for that. And as I think about this tonight, a place called Calvary, I'm thinking ahead. And I'm trying to keep myself here where I'm supposed to be, but I'm thinking about that conqueror from Calvary. Hallelujah. And I hope God will let us get there, son. But anyway, here we're talking about a place called Calvary. And I want you to see this. Look at the place. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there. And so that's the place. It's called Calvary there. I want you to look with me in the book of John chapter 19 and verse number 16, if you would please. 9:16 through verse 18. Listen to what it says. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and 2 other with him, either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Now, if you'll notice in those verses of Scripture, it says a place of the skull and called in Hebrew Golgotha. And it's the same place, Golgotha. And the place of a skull, the Greek word here for Calvary, they say comes, the word skull comes from. And so it's a place of a skull. Now there's a debate in Israel, in Jerusalem, about where Calvary is. There's a place outside the gates called Gordon's Calvary, which I believe to be the real Calvary because it's outside the city. And he was taken outside the city. How you know? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 13, and let's look at verse number 10. A few verses here, if you will, look with me. Hebrews 13, 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacles. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned with fire, burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He suffered without the gate, not inside the city, but outside. And a place looks like a skull, a hill looks like a skull. And I believe that's where Jesus was crucified and where he died. That place, that's the place. This place called Calvary. What a place it is. I'm glad there was a place. There is a place on earth. I may never set foot on it in this body, but I believe there'll be a day I'll see that place. I believe there'll be a day I'll see it and without hesitation, no. That it is a place where my blessed Savior died for me. But I believe at that time and that body that I'll be in, it won't make any difference about that place. It'll be that person I'll be concerned about. It'll be him I'll be so wrapped up in. I don't know where that place will mean a whole lot or not. I know it's a special place, and it's special to us today because he died there. But the real thing about it is he shed his blood and paid the price there. And so a place called Calvary, place of a skull, that's an interesting thought that it's called a place of a skull where he died. The skull speaks of death. And you see the medicine poison bottle, it'll be marked with the crossbones in the skull and poison and speaks of death. And so we think of death in this. And it was certainly a place of death. But thank God he didn't stay dead. Amen. Brother Willard Thomas can read you about that. He wouldn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead. Hallelujah. He got up and walked out victorious, that conqueror from Calvary. But secondly, I want you to notice the people. In verse number 33 again, it said the place there called Calvary, there they. Now, the second thing I want us to look at is the people, they. Who is the they? Well, Christ rejector, God rejectors, they've always throughout the Bible sometimes been referred to as they. Remember Noah's day when it says they were eating and drinking and making marrying, giving in marriage, so forth, they. In Lot's day when the homosexual crowd came to Lot's door and those two angel men, male factors had come into the house, and angels always mentioned that way, and that's nothing against ladies, just the fact that it's the truth of the Bible. I mentioned as males, but they went inside the house, and then the homosexuals came to the house, and they wanted those men. And they said that Lot stand back because they wanted in the door. They said, wicked bunch, ungodly bunch, they. And so we're talking about they here in this scripture. They, who are the they? It's a wicked bunch, it's a wicked crowd. You remember Elijah when he's on the mountain, and he's having a contest there with the prophets of Baal? And the prophets of Baal, they cried to Baal, hear us, O Baal, hear us. And they cried. I'm glad I've got one I can cry to. He will hear me. Amen. I can personally cry, but they cried. And so they speaks of a different crowd of people. And they doesn't necessarily mean all ungodly, unrighteous people, because there's some others there also. But I want you to look with me, please, as we look at this today. Tonight, look in the latter part of verse number 33. And the malefactors, the one on the right hand, the other on the left. Look at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Why, who was there? There was two thieves there, and one on one hand, one on the other. And here's a great picture that ought to be good for all of us tonight. The one accepted Christ. The one said, I'm getting what I deserve. I'm guilty. He pled guilty. And you'll never get saved till you plead guilty. And he pled guilty, but then he looked at Jesus and called him Lord and said, have mercy on me. Hey, he said, remember me. It's like saying, have mercy on me or forgive me. He said, remember me. And he was calling out to the right one. He went to the Savior. He didn't say, get the high priest over here, get some Pharisee over here, or go get somebody, the Sadducee, get some of that. No. He looked at the Savior that was dying for him and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Other ones just saying, if you be the Christ, come down and save yourself. And of some people, all they're interested in is God coming by and Jesus getting them out of the mess they're in and the trouble they're having, and they don't want him for anything else. And they're saying, if you be the Christ. This man that repented, he didn't say if. He just said, remember me. And said, I'm getting what I deserve. Remember me. I'm glad that the day Jesus came by my way, I pled guilty, and I cried to God to remember me, have mercy on me, save me. And he did by his marvelous grace. Now, this man never had an opportunity to go to church. He never had an opportunity to get baptized. He didn't have an opportunity to do any good works. He never did anything to help anybody. He simply trusted Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so that day he went to paradise. Now, Jesus died before those thieves did. They came by breaking their legs and they died. But Jesus had already gave up the ghost. And by the way, nobody killed Jesus. He died of his own volition. They didn't kill him. He laid down his life. He said, I have power to lay it down, have power to take it back up. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so he had that power, and he did so. He laid it down for me. I'm glad. He laid down his body and shed his blood for my sin. He took my place. Thank God for that. And I praise his name for what he did for me at Calvary, a place called Calvary. And there they crucified him. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But I'm thinking about they. And it included those two malefactors. A picture for us that those of the world that receive him go to heaven. Those that reject him go to hell. And remember paradise now, I believe at that time was in the center of the earth somewhere. But God moved it after the resurrection took place. And he took those captives and took them on to glory. And that's a wonderful thought. Won't get into a whole lot of that tonight. But I'm telling you, they couldn't go in the very presence of the living God until Jesus died and was buried and resurrected from the dead. And so, but that paradise, a place of rest. In the Old Testament, it said they were gathered to their own people. It never did say in the Old Testament somebody went to heaven except Elijah that was caught up into heaven. But it never talked about people dying, going to heaven. It talked about people going to bring gathered to their own people. Where were they gathered to their own people? I believe in paradise. I believe when Jesus walked into paradise, Abraham said, there he comes. There he comes. I believe those old prophets, Elijah said, that's the one I've been looking for. I believe that Abraham said, that's the one's a type of that I went up on the mountain, took my son. God's going to kill him, and I knew God resurrected him. But that one did die, and he's going to resurrect, but he's come down here see us before he resurrects. I say, hallelujah. You can speculate a whole lot on that, but I believe there was something like that going on down there. It wasn't no sad occasion when Jesus walked in. Amen. They was resting anyway, but when Jesus walked in, hallelujah, he made a difference. When Jesus walked in my life, he made a difference. When Jesus walked in your life, he made a difference. And I'm talking about saved now. I'm not talking about making professions and joining the church. I'm talking about coming to Jesus Christ and being born again, being saved by the grace of God. And so they come. But notice the soldiers here. They too got involved. In the latter part of verse 34, Jesus had prayed the first part, forgive them. They don't know what to do. Latter part of that verse, and they parted his raiment and cast lots. That's the soldiers. They were gambling at the very feet of the Son of the living God. Verse number 36, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. They mocked him, made fun of him. But I want you to look at verse number 47. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Now, he was a soldier also, a leader of the soldiers. But when it all got over with, and God had darkened out the day, and earth shook, and rocks rent, and this centurion cried out, surely this was a righteous man. Surely this was a son of the living God. He got changed, I believe. I mean, God did something to him. I'm not too sure. Barabbas was somewhere around there watching around the rock somewhere to see what was going to happen. He was ought to have been on that cross, but Jesus took his place literally because the people cried for the release of him. He was a murderer and a thief, and they said, let him go and crucify Jesus. And Jesus took his place. But I want you to know, you and I was just as vile as he was, and he took our place. Amen. But there, the soldiers mocked him. And you remember when they had him down in Pilate's hall, and or Herod had him, and his men took him, and they would slap him and spit on him and pluck his beard, and they'd say, who did that and all that. He didn't say anything. He didn't answer them at all. And here they crucify him. I don't believe they had to hold his arm down when they nailed it to the cross. I believe he laid down willingly and laid it out. And they nailed him to the cross and took him and crucified him there. And the soldiers mocked him and made fun of him. But that wasn't all. Look at the religious leaders that were there. In verse number 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. The rulers, that's religious leaders. And they derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the Son, the chosen of God. They said he saved everybody else. Let him save himself. Let him come down. That's what they were saying. And this crowd was making fun of him. Matthew 27, verse number 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. And so those Pharisees and religious leaders and the people too, because in verse number 35 says, and the people. And verse in Matthew 27, 39 doesn't say what people. But they went by wagging their heads, reviled him, and wagging their heads. They might have been trying to be neutral and saying, it's a pitiful sight, and we just will go on by. And I couldn't help but think about a song when I think about that, how people walked by the cross while Jesus was dying. They walked by and wagging their heads and reviling him and walked on by. I thought of a song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Hallelujah. Jesus doesn't pass us by. People pass him by, but he doesn't pass us by. I'm glad, praise God. If you can sing that, I want you to sing it for invitation. And give it the best shot you got. Amen. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. I love it. Thank God I love it. I'm glad that a gentle Savior came by my way one day and saved me by his marvelous grace. He'll save you. He's a gentle Savior tonight. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Come to Jesus and let him save you. Come to Jesus and let him save you. Let me say verse number 26 and 27, same chapter. As they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. There were some that really cared, some that loved him, some that cared about him. And I don't know where Simon was about all this, but I have a feeling before it's all over, Simon's heart was touched. I don't believe he helped carry the cross and never got over it. And I can't believe he rejected him after having him carry his cross yonder. I believe why he followed him and the blood dripping down. Why he followed him carrying the cross, or part of it at least. As he did that, I believe he's thinking, every step he took, I believe he's thinking, here goes somebody that's innocent. Somebody doesn't deserve this, and they're going to crucify him. And I don't know what happened at the cross when they got him there, but I know he had to be thinking, because he's following him all the way. He didn't hear Jesus begging for mercy. He didn't hear him crying out for help. He didn't hear any of that. He saw a man humbly giving himself for others. I believe God helped him. But notice, if you will, please, and here, three things I said. Place Calvary there. They, the soldiers, the thieves, and one saved, one lost, and the other thieves probably around there. I mentioned about Barabbas and others probably. And then the soldiers, the religious leaders, the common people, all were there. But let me say this. You and I were there. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? You remember that song? That song carries a meaning to it, because the Bible says he was made our sin. that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If he's made my sin, then I was there. I was there. My sin was there. Part of me was there. And they crucified my Lord. But I want you to know the third thing. And they crucified him. They crucified him. A cruel death that they did to him. They crucified him. I want you to look with me in Acts chapter 2, verse number 23. Acts 2, 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Notice that. Determinate counsel, those that were against him. And foreknowledge of God. If talking about the counsel of God or talking about those that are against him, the counsel. It's still the foreknowledge of God. God knew what was going on. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And that is all wickedness that's crucified the Lord Jesus. He died for sinners, my sin, your sin, everybody's sin. He took our place, paid our price, and crucified him. And the devil thought he had him when he was crucified. But remember what the Bible said in Genesis? And God was talking to the serpent and said, the seed of the woman shall bruise your head. You'll bruise his heel, but your head will get bruised. Now, on the crucifixion day, the devil bruised his heel. Jesus was bruised, as it were, and died for our sin. But that's not the end of the story. There's more to it. That conqueror from Calvary came. Praise God for Resurrection Day. I can't wait to get there. But I can celebrate that tonight. Why? How can you celebrate tonight? Because I'm saved. I know a living Savior, not a dead Savior, a living Savior. And he loves me and he cares about me. I'm going to close in just a moment. Deity was dying for sinners, and he did die for sinners, paid our price, took our place. He crucified him, a place called Calvary. A cruel, ungodly, horrible death that he went through. Crown with thorns, blood running down his head and out of his back, probably out of his stomach where the cat of nine tails had wrapped around him and then it would pull it back. Hands and feet bleeding, side was pierced, and he was a bloody. Fact is, Isaiah said he was marred more than any man. We've seen pictures of the death of the Lord Jesus, but I don't believe you've ever seen one that even come near to picturing what Jesus really looked like. Because I think he was so marred and so misused and so beard plucked and so bloody and such a mess. I don't know that you could even have looked at him. It was such a mess. But thank God he's not a mess now. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. Thank you for a living Savior. But thank you, Lord, for a Savior that did die, was crucified. Thank you, Lord, that one that bore my sin, the place called Calvary, they crucified him. And Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us to take our place like that thief did and confess that we are wrong. Jesus is right. We must be born again. We must be saved. Then, Father, if we are saved, that we'll carry that burden for others, that they may be saved. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. Help us, God, to pray for others. They know not what they do. They need to come to Jesus tonight. I pray the Holy Spirit would so convict and so enlighten them to come that they'll come and give their life to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.